Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
First Peter, the fifth chapter. This is a good, some good verses here that make up a good text for our series on this subject of humility. Our God is a humble God. Even though He's on high and He is great and He is awesome beyond words, yet the Bible says He regards the lowly. He regards the lowly. He comes down and He visits the lowly and He cares for you and I. Isn't that an amazing thought? That's such a big, awesome, massive, powerful, wise God cares for you and I, cares about the littlest details of our life. Why? Because He's humble, He's meek, He's lowly. Remember, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. God is meek. God is lowly. Nothing is too little for Him. Nothing's too little for Him. Nothing's beneath Him. Nothing's beneath Him. Even sin, even the sins of mankind, how degrading, how debasing they can be, yet God came down and He became flesh and blood and became our sin. He even took our sins upon Himself in order to deliver us. Nothing is too little for God. There's no level too low for Him to stoop to. I mean, you can't get much lower than that. I mean, turned Him over to the powers of darkness. Turned Him over to Satan. I mean, the one that has done nothing but mocked God, ridiculed God, and stirred up rebellion in people against God. And yet He comes down, and I mean with one look, he could have wiped the devil out. You know, how many people remember over there in the book of Genesis with Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, Lot, Abraham's nephew, was living in Sodom, and the angels came as the result of Abraham's prayers. The angels came, and they spent some time with Lot, and the people of the city were just vile people, just vile. And they all came to the door of Lot's house, and they wanted to take advantage of Lot, his family, the angels actually. And the angels went outside, and the angels just looked at him. And all the men of the city were blinded. They couldn't figure out their left from their right. They didn't know where they were. Just one look. You talk about looks that kill. Man, I mean, just one look of an angel. That's an angel. We're talking about the Son of the living God. We're talking about God in the flesh here when we're talking about Jesus. And yet He opened not His mouth, but was like a lamb being taken to the slaughter. Wow. What an amazing God we serve. How low He is willing to go to help save others, to deliver others. He cares about every detail of your life. And I'm telling you, if we'd get a hold of that, we'd be happy. We'd be happy. Amen. If we would get a hold of how much He cares for us. What hinders us from knowing how much He cares for us? What do you think it might be? Has something to do with this series I've been teaching. What do you think might be the greatest hindrance to you and I knowing how much God cares for us? Pride. You're absolutely right. And we see it right here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you. Be submissive to one another. and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's God's will for your life, that you might be exalted. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Say it. Say, God cares for me. Yeah, that's right. He does. And notice he says in verse 6, the latter part, he says, oh, let's just go back to verse 6. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then he doesn't complete the sentence. He goes on and says in verse 7, which is a continuation of verse 6, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So the way we humble ourselves is by casting our cares upon him. That's one of the big ways we humble ourselves, is by casting our cares upon the Lord. Humility is carefree. Humility doesn't carry cares. If humility is carefree, then what is pride? We know pride is the opposite of humility, so then pride must be full of cares, full of worries, full of anxieties. It's got a whole lot of things to deal with. It's just overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with life. Overwhelmed with everything that's going on. That's pride. Humility is carefree. He says, humble yourself. How? Cast your care on me. Cast your care on me. So if we don't cast the cares, we hang on to them. That tells us we're not humbling ourselves. We're not humbling ourselves. If we don't humble ourselves, he can't lift us up. Pride is like kryptonite to God. You know, like kryptonite was to Superman. Pride is like kryptonite. We got to get the pride out in order for God to be able to lift us up. Because when we have pride on our life, it's too heavy. Because after all, pride is bigger than God. Pride is smarter than God. Pride is the creator and the sustainer and the upholder of all things. Pride is heavy. It's too heavy for God because it's playing God. So God can't lift it up. Right? If God wants to do it, he can do it. If he wants to lift you up, he can lift you up. Well, then why did he say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may? That he may. That he can. He wants to. He wants to, but he can't. God can do anything he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. That's not Bible. I said, that's not Bible. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in Mark chapter 6, Jesus came into his own hometown. And the Bible says that he could there do no mighty works. Didn't say he wouldn't. Said he couldn't. Because of their unbelief, which we know is rooted in pride. Because the people of his own hometown, they looked down on him. They looked at Jesus like, who do you think you are? Even though they were hearing about miracles and all these great things going on, they thought, who do you think you are? I knew you when you were a little toddler. I was at your baby dedication. Who do you think you are? Now all of a sudden you're walking around like you're something bigger and better than us? How dare you think you're better than us? I taught you in your Sunday school class. I mean, they got irate. They got angry.
They got furious. They grabbed Jesus and they wanted to throw him off the cliff that their city was built on. But praise God, he just walked right through the midst of them. Suffered no harm. Hallelujah. But man, they were mad. They were angry. Why? Because they were in pride. They were just so full of pride. And as a result of their pride, Jesus could not. Hold your place. You got to look at it. Mark 6, verse 4. We'll just pick it up in verse 4. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there. You should underline that if you haven't already. You should underline that in your Bible. So you see that. It stands out to you whenever you read it. He could do no mighty work. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the one that said, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." And yet here he could do no mighty work. His hands were tied. Didn't say he wouldn't. He literally couldn't. He literally couldn't. Now we understand God has the power to just come in and just wipe everything out. But he doesn't have the legal right to just do whatever he wants. He works through people's faith. And faith comes through humility. So he says, no, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Yeah, but the Bible says in the book of James that you receive with meekness the word of God that's able to save your souls. How do you receive the word? With meekness. How does faith come? By hearing the word. So faith comes by hearing the word, but meekness comes so we can hear the word. So meekness comes before faith. So it's faith as a result of humility that God works through to deliver, to heal, and to bless humanity. So as long as man is in pride, he is not trusting God. He is trusting in himself. He has replaced God with himself. This is why doubt and unbelief angered Jesus. Now don't get me wrong. Don't get a picture of Jesus walking around kicking the furniture. He didn't just walk around just mad at everybody. That's not how he lived his life. That's not how he acted. We know that. He overflowed with life. He overflowed with joy. He was the Prince of Peace, man. But you can see it in times where it unbelief and faithlessness frustrated him. It upset him. Why? Because it's ugly in the sight of God. Why? Because it has its origin in pride. It springs forth out of pride, which is what? Trusting in yourself more than God. Looking to yourself rather than God. Humility is simply acknowledging that God is God and you are not. So profound. Yes. Simple, but profound. God is God, and you are not. And that's something we've been having to get out of our system and protect ourselves from since the day Adam had Satan breathe into his consciousness, into his mind, into his spirit, the idea that God was trying to keep something back from Adam. And that if Adam partook of the thing God said stay away from, he would be God. That's been here ever since. That's been in mankind ever since. That has filled the earth ever since. This attitude of, I am God. Life revolves around me. The sun rises and falls on me. Now, we don't walk around as some people do. I remember I was working out in the gym one time, you know. That was years back. I didn't even know the Lord at the time. And it was this guy, you know, that worked out at the gym. He kind of managed the gym. And he came walking in one day. He was just like out of his mind. He came walking in one day. He walked past me. He goes, "I'm a God." I thought, oh, Jesus. These dumbbells have gone to his head. Poor little dumbbell. Yeah, too many dumbbells can make you a dumbbell. Something, isn't it? I am God. I am God. I don't know where he is today. What a delusion. I said, what a delusion. A lot of folks, they don't walk around saying, I'm God. They won't acknowledge that to themselves, to their consciousness, that they think they're God. But yet, when we're walking around carrying cares, aren't we saying that we are the ones that take care of ourselves? Aren't we saying that basically we are the ones that have to sustain ourselves, protect ourselves, and if we're going to get it done, it's got to be through us. We got to make it happen. If we're burdened down with cares, that means then we think that we're the ones that are going to have to make us a success in life. But when we recognize, no, God is God. He's God. He's the one that created me. I didn't create myself. I didn't get myself here. God made me. And he who began a work in me is the one that has to complete it. I didn't get myself here, and I can't keep myself alive, and I can't make myself truly happy and successful in life. God's got me here. He's got to be the one to do it. He's got to be the one to do it. Life's too complex. Life's too big. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Come on, somebody. Folks sit down, and they plot and plan their course, and meanwhile, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We live in a very unstable world, and things can change very quickly. Very quickly. And we understand that. And we understand God has to be the one to sustain us. He's the one that's got to see us through. He's the one that's got to take care of us. And the good news is, he wants to. He wants to be God in your life. He wants to take care of you. That's what God does. We got to let him be God. I said, we got to let him be God and not keep getting in the way. Notice again, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for or because he cares for you. Somebody say, Jesus cares for me. God takes care of me. I don't have to worry about me. I don't have to give any thought for my life. God takes care of me. If he takes care of the birds, gets them their morning breakfast, he's going to feed me. He's going to clothe me. He's going to provide for me. God's doing it. He's always done it. And he'll continue to do it. I didn't get myself here. I can't keep myself here. And I can't get myself where God wants me to be. God's doing it. God's doing it. Hallelujah. We got to remind ourselves all the time, God's doing it. Amen. Get so caught up in that that sometimes you just got to pinch yourself. Think, how did I get here? Some folks tell you exactly how they got here. I picked myself up by my bootstraps. I turned things around. I moved and I shook. And I did some things. That's how I got to where I am. So they usually say that concerning positive things, you know, the positive things in their life. When it comes to the negative things, Charlie messed the whole thing up. Charlie's the one that has just caused problems and has set me back. If it wasn't for these people, I'd be a whole lot further on in life. It's amazing, you know. When it comes to the positives, we did it. When it comes to the negative, somebody else did it. So arrogant. I said it's so arrogant. And this is what we're tempted to walk in all the time. That's why we need to hear the word of God concerning these things, renew our mind and remind ourselves constantly that God is God. He's doing this thing. He's the one that got me here. He's the one that's going to get me through this thing. Hallelujah. He's bringing me out. He's bringing me through. I'm trusting him. Which means what? I don't have a care in the world. I don't have a care in the world. You know, it's amazing how cares will affect you biologically. It'll affect you physically. It affects the way your body works. And a lot of problems that people have all comes out of carrying cares, which is pride. That's why pride is at the root of all mankind's problems. I said pride is at the root of all of mankind's problems. But if we'll cast our cares on him, stop playing God, say, no, I'm trusting God with that. Now, I didn't say cast all your responsibilities on him. There's still things that we need to be responsible to do. That's why we're here this morning. We got up. We came to church by the grace of God, because God's good hand is upon our life. He has enabled us. He has strengthened us. And here we are this morning. We yielded to him. We cooperated with him. And we're here this morning. And he's teaching us some things. And so then we're going to go from here. And there's some things we're going to do. And we're going to live responsibly. We're going to make right decisions. And thank God the grace of God is there with us the whole time, enabling us to make right decisions, to do the right thing at the right time. So we're leaning heavily upon that grace of God to help us. But at the same time, we're not burdened. We're not worried about things, because we understand that ultimately God's the one that makes it all work. He's the one that prospers the works of our hands. He's the one that causes those crooked places. Many of them are crooked because of what we've done. He's the one that he'll turn it around for our good. He'll make it all work out. I'm just not going to get stressed about it. No matter how small and insignificant of a thing it might be, I'm not going to get stressed about it. I'm not going to worry about stuff. And the only way we're going to do that is if we constantly, with our mouths, are purposely, deliberately, and diligently casting cares on him, saying, Lord, you are God. You are Lord. I'm not. I give this to you. Soon as things start coming, soon as things that we care about start coming, we recognize this is something I care about. This is something that's important to me. All right, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to bring it to God. And I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to cast it on him. This is important to me, Lord, but I'm going to give it to you. I like what it says in Psalm 138, verse 8. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Isn't that good? The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Why don't you say that? Say, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Say it again. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. How's he going to do it? Because you're casting it on him. Knowing that he cares for you. He cares about you. Let me read verse 7 here from 1 Peter 5 from the Amplified. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. See, you're going to have anxieties. You're going to have worries. You're going to have concerns in life. It's a part of life. But don't keep them. As soon as they come, cast them. Cast them. Or I like what another translation says. Throw. Throw all your anxiety on him, because he cares about you. Throw him. Some of you got to work on your passing game. You got to work on your arm. You're not very good at throwing. You kind of go to throw it, and you go, and it's right back on you again. Just lands right back. Let's see that in slow motion. Let's get an instant replay of that. Just fell right back on him. That's how good some people throw. Throw! Throw! I'm in the mood to throw something. Ah, goodness. Throw it. Get it away from you. Throw all your anxiety on him. Because he cares about you. I like the Phillips translation. It says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him. For you are his personal concern. God takes your life personal. You're his personal concern. The Living Bible. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Another translation says, live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. Oh, man. God cares for us. God cares for us. When we get our eyes on God and we see his humility, we become what we behold. As he is, if we can see him as he really is, we will be like him, the Bible tells us. If we could see what a humble God he is, how caring he is, how tender he is, how he will get down and he is watching over the littlest details of your life. And he's not little. He is big. He is awesome. And taking care of these things is like nothing to him. And he wants to do it. I said he wants to do it. But the kryptonite of pride keeps God from being able to intervene in our lives to the degree he wants to. I want to walk in the fullness of the blessing of God that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, God the Father and all that he has and all that he is has been made wide open to us. Has been made available to us. Jesus took care of the sin problem so that we can have access to him and God can have access to us. Get in there and lift us up. And as we grow in our humility by beholding humility, by beholding God, we're going to see how trustworthy he is, how much he cares for us, and we're going to begin to learn to give all our cares, all the anxieties, all the worries, all these things over to him. In fact, we're not just going to roll them over. We're going to throw them. We're going to throw it all on him, man. I mean, just as soon as it's hiked to us, we don't hang on to it very long. You know, that makes a really good quarterback in the NFL. You know, these guys, they say, hike, and the ball's hiked to him. And the guys that are double-minded and they're not, they're like, who do I throw it to? Who do I throw it? And they're looking for someone to get open. Man, next thing you know, they got some 300-pound guys. Bam! Splatting them into the ground. Why? Because they got that ball. They got those cares. People are carrying those cares. And man, they don't, I'm not quick to get rid of them. Next thing you know, bam! They're sacked. Sacked, man. And then they get up and they get it hiked again and they get sacked. Man, you get sacked a few times and next thing you know, you're out there, you're weary. Huh? You're afraid to get sacked next. You're like, can I just hand this thing off? Let's just forget the pass. But these really good quarterbacks, man, they get rid of the ball real fast. They are great at making their decisions. What they're going to do, and they don't delay, and they go back, and they get rid of that ball fast. That's how we got to be. When things are hiked to us, when the cares of life come, just drop that right off. Because God's always open. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. I got to try to find some. Honey, please help me, darling. Will anybody in the church pray for me? Please pray for me. Please somebody find somebody to help me. I'm trying to find somebody that's open. And then, splat. God's always open. He's wide open. All the demons try to get between you and God, and God just gets up. I'm right here. He's an easy target. But pride is so blind, it can't even see God. God's like, throw it to me. It's like, oh, where are you? Where is anybody? I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. Nobody understands. Nobody understands. No, you're blinded by pride. There's a lot of folks that understand. There's a lot of folks that can relate to you. And there's a God who's very much aware of every detail of your life. And he cares for you. And he wants to take care of you. And there's a lot of things you don't know, you know. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't understand why some things have happened in the past. There's a lot of things you don't know. Don't be shocked. I know that's shocking. But it's true. There's a lot of things you don't know. But there's someone that knows everything. And he cares about you. And that's really the most important thing that you get a hold of when it comes to getting revelations from God. It's just two things. Just two things that you really need to know more than anything else. That God knows and God cares. So when you're in a situation, if you could just say, God knows and God cares. He doesn't just know, he cares. He cares enough to do something about it. And by saying that, you're throwing it right to him. You're throwing it right in. You're not going to take the worries. You're not going to take the anxieties. You're not going to take the fears. You're going to just keep it on him. Because he's more than able to handle it. Somebody say, God is for me. He is not against me. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He said, I am with you even unto the end of the world. I mean, this whole world can wear out. Everybody can kill themselves. I'm with you. I will be with you. Jesus had such a revelation of this that when that mob came to throw him off the cliff, no doubt he didn't know what to do next. What do I do now? I got maybe 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, I don't know. I got a crowd of people and they're about to throw me off the cliff. But he knew God was with him. And so he just stopped, turned around, walked around, walked right through the midst of them. And somehow, how did it happen? I don't know. Will God do that for you? Oh, yeah. I remember a story from Reinhard Bonnke, a great, powerful evangelist over in South Africa, has huge crusades, you know. Hundreds of thousands of people. Just massive crusades. Most of you know who I'm talking about. And one time he was in a particular city, and man, there was this big upheaval about him being in the city and having this crusade, and there was a lot of Muslims that wanted him dead. I mean, they wanted him dead. And so this big riot broke out in the streets, and I mean, they're burning cars, and I mean, people are just going crazy in the streets, and because they don't want this big crusade to go on. And Reinhard Bonnke, when all this broke out, he's in a car driving down this main street where all this upheaval is going on. And I mean, the people are grabbing, they're pulling people out of cars and everything else. And they're looking for him. And he's caught right in the middle of it. People are banging around the car and screaming and yelling. And the door opens up and the people look in like this and they shut the door. And he's sitting right there. And they clear a path and he drives right on through. Hallelujah. God just closed their eyes. He just sat in the car and was protected by God. Just trusted in God. Because God's more than able. He is our hiding place. Come on, somebody. He is our hiding place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it. And friend, I got good news for you. They are safe. They are safe. And he said, no weapon. He really means this too. It isn't just a nice little Christian quote. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. Aren't you glad? Key to the whole thing is keep the cares on him. I said keep the cares on him. Notice over here in Mark, the fourth chapter. Carrying cares is pride, and it is at the root of all fear, all anxiety. It's at the root of all our prayer, all our problems. Mark chapter 4, we see the disciples that were with Jesus, how they were prone to this, but they were learning. Do we have some folks that are learning and growing in God? Yeah, we're growing and we're learning. And the disciples were no different. They didn't, you know, just come out of the box. Spiritual men, wonderful men, you know, just were perfect. No, they were far from perfect. Had a lot of pride issues. But by the end of their life, man, these men were humble men. And God used them mightily. He used them to turn the world upside down. Mark, the fourth chapter, the disciples are with Jesus out on a boat. They're taking a boat ride. And Jesus is sleeping. We pick it up here in verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, how many people know when Jesus says, "Let's go over to the other side," you're going over to the other side. The only way you're not going over the other side is if you don't believe Jesus and jump out of the boat. And that's where a lot of folks are. They've jumped out of the boat of going over to the other side of what God has for them. They've panicked. They jumped into a raft. And they're still floating around out there at sea. Lost at sea. Just floating around out there. Scorched by the sun. Drinking salt water. Pastor gets up and says, "Life is good in God." And they go, "Eh." They're sunburnt. They got blisters. They're miserable. And that pastor annoys me. Because he doesn't know how big my problems are. I've been floating out on this raft and God has done nothing for me. He's done nothing to rescue me. Well, why are you out on the raft anyway? Because you jumped ship. You still haven't even repented for that. Still haven't even repented for your doubting him and your fear of him. And so every new blister you get is his fault. Because you're arrogant. And you're mad at everybody that's has a peaceful, enjoyable life. That's what happens. But repentance is good. That's how we get the pride off, remember? We repent, and that's how we get the pride off. And then we can start hearing from God so that he can lift us and our life raft back up and into the boat that he's the captain of. Jesus said, "We're going over to the other side." It didn't matter if Peter, James, or John was driving the boat. It did not matter who was driving the boat. Jesus said, "We're going over to the other side." So if he said, "We're going over to the other side," we're going over to the other side. Even if you have bad drivers. Even if the air traffic control has problems. I'm not trusting the air traffic control when I get in a plane. That's why I don't make these big long. "Father, I thank you for the pilots. I thank you for the co-pilots. I thank you for the stewardesses. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for the mechanics. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus over the air traffic controllers. Father, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your protection around everything." And oh my goodness. So much of that is spiritual pride. It's you, once again, using the Bible to protect yourself. Don't use the Bible to protect yourself. Let the Bible reveal to you God as your protection. God is our protection. That's what we should be getting out of the Bible. Not getting the Bible as another means by which we prosper ourselves, we bless ourselves, and we protect ourselves. No. No, no, no. He protects you. That's what the Bible's trying to get across. But pride misinterprets and twists what it's hearing, turns everything into a works rather than into faith. Humility turns the word into faith. Pride turns the word into works. That's what happens. That's why he said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." We got to understand, God, big God, he do it all. You thank you for the air traffic control. We thank you for this. You know, I mean, sometimes I do. I slap, as I'm getting in the plane, I'll slap my hand on the side of the plane. Thank blood of Jesus is over this plane. Praise God. Rub the side of the plane a little bit. I'm not anxious about it. I'm not praying prayers of anxiety and fear. No. I'm going over to the other side. Wherever that other side is. And we're going to get in this plane. We're going to go to such and such. Pastor, we're going on a long trip. Would you pray for us? Sure, absolutely. Father, I just thank you. They're going to go over to the other side and they'll be back on such and such a date. Thank you. Well, have fun. Lord's with you. I remember when I was newly saved, my whole family was newly saved. You know, we had all just come into this new experience with God and everything. And I went out to Bible school and I had now come. I was in my first year of Bible school, came home for a holiday, Thanksgiving or something like that. Came, sat down at the table. You know, my dad was just newly born again, you know. And we're sitting at the table and he says, Steve, will you go ahead and pray, say grace over the meal? So I said, sure, Dad. I said, Father, I just thank you for this food. I just thank you that it's blessed according to your word. And we're just so grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. My dad just kind of looked. And he said, well, I'll tell you the truth about it. He said, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, here I just came from Bible school. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little disappointed. You know, I expect a little bit more. Father, we thank you for the turkey and the roast, the roasted potatoes, and the. Thank you for the cranberries. Probably should have started quoting things from Song of Solomon or something, you know. The sweetness of heaven, the dew of the earth. Hey, the food's blessed. Let's eat it. Now, people can get in the ditch with that and they get real irreverent, you know. And, you know, they're just saying stuff out of their mouth, and they're not putting any heart into it, you know. But then there's folks on the other side of the ditch, you know, that they're doing everything. They're doing everything. I remember when I was out of Bible school, you know, I remember some guy, he was just very dramatic. And we sat down at the table. Actually, we went by one table one time, and he was at that table, and he was praying. As we walked by, everybody's got their head down. He's leading prayer over the food. And he's saying, Father, we just thank you for the Iranian crisis. And we just thank you, Lord, that these terrorists and da-da-da-da-da-da and the hostages and all these things. I mean, this is some of you look at me like, that's normal, but that's really not the place for that. But anyway, they were just wanting to bless the food. The people's food was getting cold as this man talked about Iran. Yes, Lord. For all the hungry people in the world, we just pray. Okay. And so... So anyway, then this guy, he was at our table for whatever reason a few days later. And so we said, well, let's go pray. And my friend just chimed in real quick, says, I'll do it. And he just prayed over the food, so the other guy didn't. But anyway, we wanted to be able to eat it while it was hot. You know, God wants you to eat your food while it's hot. Believe it or not, he cares about the little things. I have digressed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Doubting the Lord's care for you is pride, and pride is at the root of all our fears and fighting. Notice this again, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he had said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So this is a dire situation. Verse 38. But he was in the stern asleep. Talking about Jesus. He was in the stern asleep. Friend, these are great waves. This is a great storm. This boat's being, the waves are banging up against this boat. And there's water filling the boat. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It was a great storm, but now something greater came, and it was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Notice this, Jesus is disappointed with them. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Where's your trusting in God? Well, it goes right back to verse 38. "Do you not care?" they shouted. See, they didn't know if he cared. They didn't know if he cared. What was the result there? Fear. Fear, panic. That just gets you in more trouble. Fear and anxiety just causes more trouble, causes more harm. When people have a panic attack, they begin to kick and they begin to scream and fight against their very answer. You can't see clearly when you're weighted down with cares. They're all weighted down with cares. Why? Because they don't know if he really cares. And it doesn't look like he cares. I mean, look what we're going through. I mean, water is filling the boat now. I mean, he's been sleeping this whole time. We've been working this thing. We've been working through this storm. We're getting beat around. It's getting worse. The storm's getting worse. We're waiting any minute. He's going to come up. He's going to do something. Jesus is going to come out here, and he's going to help us. I mean, you know, they're probably even out there praying, "God, wake him up. Wake him up, God." Because they don't want to wake him up, you know. He might not be happy. And it just got worse and worse. And it's like, where is he? Doesn't he know we're about to perish? Does he know we're about to go under? Well, that's what you believe. You're not believing what he said. He said, "Let's go over to the other side." And you're doubting his care for you. You're doubting that he cares about the situation simply because he's at peace about it. And sometimes folks will misunderstand. They'll think because someone's in peace and they're not worried and they're not troubled, that means they don't really care. Because if you really cared about what I was going through, you would be upset too. You would be scared. You'd be all worked up. Not true. I said it's not true. Jesus is in perfect rest. He's in perfect peace. He's not worried. He's not being moved by the circumstances. He's got total faith in God the Father. They're not trusting. Now, I trusted him until this part of the boat filled up. Now, I trusted him all the way up to there. And, you know, we want to be commended for that, you know. I trusted him up until there. But when this part of the boat filled up, that's enough. Don't expect me to trust any further. Friend, we need to learn to go down to our graves trusting God. And if we would, we would never go down there prematurely against our will. But the panicking, the fear, no faith. Jesus could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Remember that? No faith, no mighty works. Thank God Jesus was in this situation, and it wasn't just about them, it was about him too. And so he was able to say, "Peace, be still," and bring a great calm to the situation. Wow. Think about the peace that was in Jesus. He had God's peace in him, which was greater than the storm. I mean, how long can you hang on until you finally lose it? How far can you go before your patience button pops? Huh? How far can you go?
This far, no more.
We want to get to the place where the patience button is super glued down. Never pops. The breaker never pops. We never blow a breaker. No matter how bad it looks, God will bring us through. We're feeling this. This is intense. But God's faithful. This really hurts. This does not look good. But God's faithful. He didn't bring me this far to let me die in the wilderness. I'm going to get to the other side. I'm getting into the promised land. We're coming through this thing. And it's going to be worth. It's going to be worth every step of the way. It's going to be worth every pressing through every trial and every test to get there. Because God's going to make it that way. He's going to make it a more than enough blessing to take care of everything that's happened. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to just go all the way with God. No matter how high the waves get. No matter how strong the winds get. No matter how much water's filling your boat. Bless God, I believe God that it's going to be even as he said it would be. And we're insulted when a devil or a thought comes that's contrary to that. Like Jesus. We're not going to offend God. He cares for me. What is this getting up and saying, Lord, don't you care? How absurd. Don't you care? Why do you think he's here? Don't you care? And yet we wonder, don't you care? Don't you care? I got good news for you. I got the answer for you this morning. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Now give it to him and relax. Pull up the sails, put down the sails, do what you know to do, bless God, and just be excited. Knowing that you're getting to the other side. God's going to bring you through. He's going to work it all out. And every evil thing the devil tries to bring against you, anything he has brought against you in the past, bless God, it's all turning around for your good. We don't need to be moping around depressed and sorrowful about anything that's happened. Hallelujah. Because God's turned it for our good. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not afraid of trials and tests. Why? Because God's turned it for our good. I said he's turned it for our good. And turning it all around for his glory. He's going to receive much praise from our life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I will not die, but I will declare the works of the Lord. God will be magnified through my life in this world. And no devil and no circumstance is going to stop me. No devil's going to stop it from coming to pass. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of people. I don't care who you are. I'm not afraid of you. I don't care how close you are, how involved you are in my life. I'm not worried about you. God is for me. Hallelujah. I said, God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I said, if God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Is he for you? Does he care? Say, yes, God cares for me. God is for me. What can be against me? What storm? What problem? What person? God is for me. I'm not worried about you. I love you. You can love them. You can love people, man. Why? Because no weapon formed against you was going to prosper. You're not a little cat trapped in the corner, man. Man, you got the lion of the tribe of Judah on the inside of you. Get up, bless God in the love of God, and know I'm going over, hallelujah, and mwah, you can't stop me. So I don't have to fight with you. I don't have to be ugly to you. I don't have to sit there and shun you and do all these kind of things. I don't worry about you. God's for me. God's for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going over in Jesus' name. Say, I'm going over in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at
Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299. Or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.